Well, if you're into watching movies, no doubt you've watched a few spy action movies like James Bond. Perhaps even Johnny English, if you're into more slapstick. They all kind of follow a pretty predictable storyline, really, don't they? They open by introducing some world-threatening problem. And then the hero arrives and is given the mission of saving the world with either all the resources that they need or next to nothing. But then as the movie progresses, we discover things are actually worse than they first appeared. And coinciding with this, how the hero will actually overcome the problem becomes less and less clear. But at the end of the movie, there's almost always, there's a final fight where the villain and the hero, they duke it out, and the villain is finally overthrown and the hero saves the world and everything goes back to normal. But what's the pivotal moment in these movies? It's the hero accepting the mission, isn't it? Sometimes the hero needs to be convinced to come out of retirement. Sometimes the hero's been kind of taken off the field and put in the office and against orders takes on the mission. But however it pans out, the pivotal moment is that moment when the hero takes on the mission. But missions aren't only limited to movie heroes saving the world, are they? In fact, we all have a mission in life. For some people, that's very clear. What their mission in life, what they're hoping to achieve is very clear. Perhaps it's to have a successful business. Perhaps it's to provide their children with a good education, a leg up in life. Perhaps it's to own a home and have financial independence by your 50s, mid-50s, so you can put your feet up and enjoy the best that the world has to offer. Fine dining, fine friends, fine weather, fine holidays. For other people, it's much more vague for them. They might hope for similar things, but they don't really have a plan for how to get there. They just take a more day-to-day approach, hoping that it will all work out today and tomorrow. What's your mission in life? What do you hope to achieve? How do you hope to influence people? For God's people, for Christians, God has given us a life mission. A life mission about God's kingdom. And in this morning's passage here in Mark chapter 4, 21 to 34, it deals with one aspect of this mission. We're going to look at it in three parts together. Firstly, which is share the gospel with unbelievers. Secondly, it is God who is responsible for bringing people into God's kingdom. And thirdly, God will bring people into his kingdom. The first bit really looks at what God calls us to do. The second two points deal with the things that God does. Let me pray as we look at this together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together now, please help me only to say what is true and faithful. Please help us to understand and embrace your word, joyfully conforming our lives to it, so that it will be a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our passage, it teaches that one aspect of the kingdom mission of God's people is to share the gospel with unbelievers. But to see this, first of all, we need to look at the parable that comes immediately before it. If we'd looked at it last week, that would have been clearer. But for those of you who are here, cast your mind back. 3 weeks ago, we looked at it. The parable of the sower. What was it about? Well, in verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, have a look there. Jesus says that this parable is the secret of the kingdom of heaven. What's the parable about? A farmer who sows some seeds. Verse 14, Jesus says that these seeds, it is the word. That is, it is the message of the gospel, that Jesus is God's king and saviour. That forgiveness for our sin and eternal life is available for all who trust in him through Jesus' death and resurrection. The parable, it contains four soils. The first three soils, they represent people who ultimately reject Jesus, reject God's word. And then the fourth soil, that's the good soil. It represents healthy people. People who are truly Christian. People who faithfully trust in Jesus as their Saviour and live with him as their Lord. So this parable of the sower, it's about God's word going out into the world and many people rejecting it, but some accepting it. On the back of telling that parable, look at verse 21. Jesus tells another parable. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" Now, we don't really use lamps too much, perhaps unless you've got a power failure or you're out camping. But the point, the picture Jesus paints here is clear, isn't it? Of course lamps are meant to be put on a stand, not covered up or hidden away. Otherwise, they won't illuminate the room. You may as well turn them off. But what is it that Jesus is driving at here? In the parable of the sower, Jesus shone light on the secret of the kingdom of God. Why was it a secret? It was a secret because it hadn't been revealed yet. And because it hadn't been revealed, it wasn't what the Jews expected. See, they thought that God would bring his kingdom into being through a mighty warrior king. Someone who'd come and gather a great army and drive out the Roman oppressors and re-establish the nation of Israel. But Jesus revealed in the parable of the sower, that's not God's plan for establishing his kingdom. God's plan involves farming, not fighting, so to speak. Planting the seed of God's word, sharing the gospel with unbelievers. What were the disciples meant to do with this secret? Sometimes when people share a secret with us, they're like, "You can't tell anyone. You've got to take it to the grave," aren't they? This wasn't Jesus' intention in revealing this secret to his disciples. Have a look at verse 22. "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." Jesus is saying this secret is meant to be disclosed. It's meant to be brought into the open. He was urging people to become seed sowers, to share the gospel with unbelievers. And verse 23 reinforces this. He says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Hearing here doesn't refer just to intellectual understanding. Acknowledging that unbelievers need to hear the gospel before they can trust in Jesus and be saved. You've got to hear the message before you can trust it. That's true. But Jesus isn't just saying, "Hey, you've got to understand this." Jesus is saying that this understanding leads to action. Actually sharing the gospel with unbelievers. And verses 24 and 25, they contain a warning about this. He says, "Consider carefully what you hear." Jesus is telling us to weigh up what follows, because how we respond will have consequences. "With the measure you use," he says, "it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." What is it that Jesus has been urging his disciples to have? Ears to hear. To understand and act on what he's said. To share the gospel with unbelievers. And those who do, they will be rewarded. They will experience the joy either now in this life or in the life to come, of having people they've shared the gospel with becoming Christians. People who will be eternally grateful for those who shared the gospel with them. I don't know what the greatest experience that you've had in life is. For me, the birth of my kids, that's up there. That is real special. So joyful. So wonderful. Seeing people that I've shared the gospel with come to trust in Jesus, I put it up there with that. It is amazing. Amazing to see people come into God's kingdom. To turn from living for themselves and the dead end that that is, and instead knowing God, loving God, serving God. But those who don't share the gospel with unbelievers, they won't see any such reward. No one in this life or the next will say to them, "Thank you. Thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Thank you for being involved in events where the gospel was shared that I was at." It's possible even, actually, that Jesus is saying here that one mark of truly being a Christian is that you share the gospel with unbelievers, or you're involved in sharing the gospel with unbelievers. Why? Jesus says, even what they have will be taken from them. Whoever does not have ears to hear, that is, whoever does not share the gospel with unbelievers, even what they have will be taken from them. Why? Because true faith in Jesus is not just an intellectual thing. It changes our lives. Jesus is not just Lord. Sorry, Jesus is not just Saviour. He is Lord. He calls us to obey him. That's a good thing, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for the world. But as Christians, we no longer live for ourselves. We're to live for God. We're to be on this kingdom mission. And this involves sharing the gospel with unbelievers. Now, I'm not 100% certain that that's what this verse is saying. But Jesus does say, consider carefully what you hear. Whatever he is saying here is not a light thing. Think about it. Think about it. Whatever he is saying, Jesus is definitely urging believers, his people, to share the gospel with unbelievers and to do so liberally, as often as possible. If somebody comes to your place for a meal, do you get them to sit down at the table and then bring a teaspoon across and put it in front of them and say, "Hey, enjoy"? No. You fill up their plate, don't you? And you're like, if you want seconds, there's more, and there's dessert. Jesus wants this to be our approach in sharing the gospel with unbelievers. We're to use a big measure, so to speak. Not a teaspoon, but a 200-litre drum. Share the gospel with as many people, as many unbelievers as possible. Do you have regular conversations with unbelievers about the gospel? Or are they few and far between? This is where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? For many Christians, sharing the gospel with unbelievers is a struggle. We find it much easier, don't we, to talk about the latest fishing or camping trip, what the kids or grandkids have been up to, perhaps what we've been doing in the garden, or the latest sporting results, who won the grand final. Even the weather seems to be an easier thing to talk to people about. Why is this? Why do we find it so difficult, do you think? The number one reason is surely fear. We're afraid of getting hit, so to speak. Because none of us like pain, do we? We're hardwired to avoid pain whenever possible. But sharing the gospel with unbelievers always brings a chance of pain from getting hit. They might ask a question that we can't answer. Puts a dent in our pride, doesn't it? They might not be interested. And that hurts, doesn't it? When there's something that we hold dear, that we want to share with somebody else and they're not interested, that hurts. Sometimes people might reject us. Before we share the gospel with them, they kind of happy to be around us, but once we have, they avoid us. You might see them down the street and they turn their head the other way and keep walking. They stop answering our SMSs, our phone calls. We might be ridiculed for being a Christian. That's never fun. We might even be persecuted, and that can come in a variety of forms. Perhaps in the workspace we might be overlooked for a job promotion because we're Christian and share the gospel with others. Perhaps we might even be formally warned for talking to unbelievers about our Christian beliefs, what the Bible says about all sorts of things in life. In many places in the world, Christians are beaten, even killed, for sharing the gospel with unbelievers. There's a cartoon in the news sheet. It reminds us that tomorrow is the anniversary of the deaths of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley. They were two English Christian leaders in the church, and they were burnt at the stake because they refused to be silent about the gospel. Perhaps you've got other fears as well. We shouldn't dismiss our fears about sharing the gospel as if they're silly or if they're childish. But it's also important that we don't allow such fears to control us. When we struggle with such fears, where do we start? I think prayer. Prayer. Talk to God about them. Ask Him to help us to overcome them. I regularly ask God for boldness to share the gospel with unbelievers. Because I feel that anxiety, I feel that fear. Why would we do it? Why would we share the gospel with unbelievers? Well, I've got three good reasons. They're not from the passage, but I think they're good. Three good reasons. Firstly, for God's sake, that God might be rightly honoured and worshipped as He alone deserves. We share the gospel for unbelievers for God's sake. We share the gospel with unbelievers for their sake, that they might come to know how wonderful God is, His great love for us in Jesus, and that through turning from their rebellion against Him and trusting in Jesus, they come to know Him, to know His forgiveness, and to have the wonderful hope of eternal life with Him in the new creation. We share the gospel with unbelievers for their sake. And thirdly, we share the gospel with unbelievers for their sake and for our sake. What do I mean by that? Because the relationships that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ are so much deeper and more meaningful and will extend into eternity than the relationships that we have with unbelievers. We become a family in Jesus, and we get to spend eternity together. For God's sake, for their sake, for our sake, and for their sake. As we feel those anxieties, if we remember these things, hopefully it will embolden us. Help us to share the gospel with them despite our fears. But even so, persevering in sharing the gospel with unbelievers is hard. It is hard, especially when it might seem that our efforts are for naught. That the people that we share the gospel with, they're not coming to trust in Jesus. They're not turning to Jesus and putting their trust in him. And the next two parables here that Jesus shares, they address this issue. The parable of the growing seed, firstly, it teaches that God is the one who's responsible for bringing people into his kingdom. Have a look there from verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattered seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." What was the farmer's part in the seeds growing and bearing a crop here in this parable? All he did was sow the seed. The rest is out of his hands. Jesus is saying it's the same for people coming into his kingdom. God calls his people to share the gospel with unbelievers. But bringing people into God's kingdom, that's out of our hands. There is no knockdown argument that we can roll out that will 100% of the time convince every person to become a Christian. That doesn't mean that Christianity and what the Bible says is illogical. It's not. It actually makes more sense of the universe and life than any other explanation. But becoming a Christian, it's not just a matter of logic. It's a spiritual matter. God's Spirit needs to open people's eyes to the truth of the gospel. Unbelievers are chained by Satan. They are enslaved by him. And God's Spirit needs to free them. Only then will they trust in Jesus and be saved. What that means is that we are not responsible for the unbelievers that we share the gospel with becoming Christian. That's in God's hands. All God expects of us is to share the gospel with them, to sow the seed. I find that an incredible relief. I don't know how many people I've shared the gospel with, and I'm no great evangelist, but I've seen very few become Christian. But God doesn't expect that of me. He doesn't expect me to change their hearts. He only expects us to share the gospel with us. Not that this means that you share the gospel with somebody once and then you wipe your hands of them and move on to the next person. That's not what Jesus is getting at here. We should repeatedly share the gospel with people through our own personal conversations, invite them along to church, invite them along to events where the gospel is shared. We should try and make the most of every opportunity we have to share the gospel with them. And hand in hand with this, we should pray. Pray that God will change hearts and minds. Pray that God will release them from Satan's shackles of slavery. Knowing that only he can. Only he can. We don't know who God's chosen to be in his kingdom. We're not all born with a barcode that you can get a scanner and beep, and it says, not God's child, or beep, God's child. We don't know. So we just got to share the gospel with everyone. Share the gospel with everyone and ask God to do his part. And when we do, we can be assured that God will bring his people into his kingdom. This is the point of the parable of mustard seed. Look from verse 30. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? Is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. As we read this parable, it's easy to get caught up kind of in some of the, I guess, intricate details, like how small is a mustard seed? How large does a mustard plant actually grow? But we don't need to understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is just drawing on that simple principle: from little things, big things grow. And Jesus is saying this is the case for God's kingdom. And he's saying it to urge his people to persevere in sharing the gospel with unbelievers, even when they see little growth. Why? Because God's kingdom will grow. God will bring his people into his kingdom. When Jesus, he spent 3 years walking the earth, 3 years doing in ministry, what was the fruit? 11 apostles and a handful of others. It wasn't a mega church, was it? I'm not sure Jesus would get a job as a modern day church planter. Yeah? If the number of converts is the criteria, Jesus wouldn't get a gig. Jesus doesn't want us to play the numbers game. We're not to judge the success of our efforts to share the gospel with how many people become Christian. Every time we share the gospel with an unbeliever, that is 100% success. God doesn't want us to play the numbers game of who becomes a Christian. If we do, when no one or very few people become Christian from our efforts, we'll despair. And if over time we don't see any fruit, we'll give up. We'll give up sharing the gospel with unbelievers because we'll think, what is the point? God doesn't want us to worry about the growth. God will bring his people into his kingdom. He's been doing it for the last 2,000 years. And he'll continue to do so until Jesus returns. This passage, it challenges our approach to life, what we live for. Jesus calls us here to a kingdom mission. And our part in this mission is to share the gospel with unbelievers. But God takes care of the rest. He is responsible for bringing people into his kingdom. And he will. As the gospel is shared, he will bring his people into his kingdom. Sometimes I feel like a failure, because I struggle so much to share the gospel with people. I think, Jesus, you've got much better tools in the shed than me. Yeah. Where do we start? One person. One unbeliever that we know. Pray for them. Pray that God will help you to be able to share the gospel with them. And pray that God will take that gospel and he'll change their lives. He'll free them and bring them into his kingdom. I want you to think of one person. One person you know who's not a Christian. and take the opportunity now to pray. Pray for their involvement, to share the gospel with them, to take a risk, be willing to take the hit, and pray for God to do that work. Just pray quietly, and then I'll wrap us up with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into your kingdom. We thank you for the people who share the gospel with us. We thank you for your work in us by your Spirit, freeing us from our slavery to sin, death, and Satan, and bringing us into the kingdom of your Son. Father, please help us to adopt your kingdom mission of sharing the gospel with unbelievers and make this an integral part of our lives. Give us boldness in the face of our fears. And Lord, please have mercy on those we share the gospel with, that they might come to share with us you, relationship with you, knowing you now, and the wonderful hope of eternal life with you in the age to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.